Chapter 7.
I snapped my open jaw shut with a clack, and I blinked several times to make sure of what I was seeing. The stranger still stood before me with her sword moving at lightning speed, and she didn't pause in her annihilation of the clover cards to introduce herself. Who the hell was this woman, and why had she chosen to help us? Was she after the potions for herself? The thought was unsettling, but I held out hope the stranger was one of the rebels. Then I took advantage of the sudden distraction to chug down whatever the hell was inside the potion bottle clutched in my fist. My entire body began to tingle instantly, and the potion container suddenly shattered in my fist. I blinked down at my hand suspiciously as I tried to figure out what the fuck was happening to me. Before my eyes, the palm of my hand turned gray, and I twitched my fingers experimentally. It sounded like rocks grinding against each other. What the hell did I just drink? Just as I looked up, I saw a clover card coming at me with his sword flying over his head, so I didn't have time to look for a label among the glass remains on the ground. I brought up my now empty left arm instinctively, and I sent up a silent prayer to the dream gods that I wasn't about to die. The sound of metal cracking filled my ears, and I opened my eyes to find the clover card holding the hilt of his broken sword. Then I glanced down at my arm where his blade had struck, and I saw rocks covering the surface of my skin. The clover card's weapon hadn't even left a scratch, and I grinned as realization dawned on me. My entire body was hard as a rock. Fuck yeah! I shouted, and the soundtrack to every Chevy commercial I'd ever seen played in my head as I gripped my sword and marched toward the clover card with the broken weapon. All traces of fear vanished, and I swung my sword wildly. The clover card attempted to block the blow with his broken blade, and he caught the edge of my steel against the hilt clutched in his fist. His hand shook from the effort it took to withstand my newfound strength, but then I lifted my free arm and slammed my fist into the front of his helmet. The metal crumpled beneath the weight of my rock hands, and the clover card flew backward into the dirt with a heavy thud. I cackled as I jumped forward, grabbed him by the neck of his chest piece, and drove my sword into the unarmored spot between his helmet and breastplate. I barely had time to register my first kill before I let him fall from my hands, but a shudder ran down my spine as the realization struck me. I peered at my newly transformed body in awe. It was like my entire body was made of stone, and the impenetrable surface made gravelly creaks every time I moved. I didn't feel any different inside the rock skin, other than being unbeatable now. I'm the Juggernaut, bitch! Or I guess I'm more like the Thing. Either way, I'm gonna fuck you all up now! The next clover card that came at me met a similar fate, and I thoroughly enjoyed the confused head tilt he gave me when I didn't even bother to block his attack. Then his weapon bounced off my shoulder like he'd just whacked a boulder, and he quickly began to backpedal away from me.
They got to the potions!
The card man cried to his companions, but they were too busy fighting off the mysterious woman to hear his warning. This dream fluctuated to a nightmare like a pendulum, but at least the women were easy on the eyes. Then my gaze returned to the beautiful feathered woman who suddenly stood in our midst. Our mysterious ally slashed a blade out with a flick of her wrist, and another clover card fell by her hand. A ring of smoke encircled her face, so it was hard to make out the details of what she looked like, but she had a striking figure.
Hi-ho, hi-ho, it's a traveler's life for me,
the strange woman sang in a jolly sea shanty before she swiveled around to drive her blade into the neck of another armored goon who'd attempted to attack her from behind. The tail of her waistcoat fluttered with her movement, and she nearly lost her hat.
A nip and a tuck, and don't forget to suck in your gut as you sing.
What the fuck?
I shook my head in disbelief at what I was seeing. Whoever this woman was, she was completely overdressed for a fight in the middle of a mushroom forest. But I didn't have time to appreciate the view any longer, since another clover card was coming toward me with his sword swinging. I easily blocked the blow with a rock arm and scampered backward to gain more space, but the clover card followed quickly in my wake, so I lunged forward to meet his attack instead. My blade sliced between his shoulder and breastplate, and black blood began to seep from the wound as soon as I pulled my weapon free. It wasn't a fatal blow, though, and my enemy came at me with his shield next. The wound continued to pour the black sludge, and soon it was dripping to the dirt road. Then I had to slide to the side to avoid being sprayed with the thing's blood, and I spun around in order to meet a subsequent jab of his sword with my rock chest. His blade shattered into multiple pieces, and he threw the hilt at me like a toddler throwing a tantrum, but the handle bounced harmlessly off my stony exterior. Now I was having fun. I continued forward until he was inside my range of attack, and I spun around with my blade raised, ready to land a fatal blow. The clover card lunged away from me, but the next thing I knew, a blade jutted from his chest, and the beautiful bird girl pulled her weapon free as a fountain of black blood sprayed from the gaping hole.
Oh, a run in there, an adventure here. What else does a traveler do, my dear?
The weird bird woman continued to sing the entire time she fought off the clover cards, but they were falling beneath her sword like butter beneath a hot knife. I wasn't about to let her take all the glory, though, so I hopped back into the fray. I slashed at the closest clover card, and I made my way steadily closer to the wagon where my friends waited. Una scampered down from the giant mushroom to climb into the cart, and she hissed and scratched at a clover getting too close for their comfort. But then the cat girl nearly toppled from the top of the pile of potions. I had to kill these card thing guys before something bad happened to my feline companion. So I attacked the clover cards with a fervor, and the strange bird woman was right by my side the entire time. I was having the time of my life now that I had hands made of rocks, and a wide grin split my face while sweat crept down my brow. My fists went straight through their ink-bag faces with a single punch, and I beat them until blood seeped from every junction of their armor. The two of us fought together until we killed off the rest of the clover cards and stood in the middle of a pile of bodies. But by that time, I was covered in blood from my head to my toes, while the beautiful bird girl flicked black specks of gore from her blade. I hurried over to the others to check to make sure everyone was uninjured, and Una's eyes filled with relief.
Oh, Alex! You killed them all!
The cat girl gasped as an odd expression crossed her face.
I knew you would save us, but I had no idea you were so strong.
You did good.
Miss Maggie said with obvious reluctance, and then Dr. Kriya nudged the pig lady encouragingly.
Thank you, Alex. Your plan was good, but we kind of blew it, so we are lucky you were here.
I agree,
the mousy doctor added with a curt nod.
Your performance was very admirable.
It's all thanks to the potion I drank, I explained with a shrug.
You took a potion?
The doctor's eyes widened as she scanned me up and down.
Was it a do-nothing potion? You seemed plenty capable of taking the cards out on your own.
They hadn't even noticed me going Hulk mode. I looked down at my gray skin and flexed my rocky fingers.
The rock stuff certainly helped,
I laughed as I waved my hand through the air, but the women didn't seem to register my point. But it was still much easier than I expected, thanks to whoever the hell that woman is.
You should go talk to her,
Una suggested, as she peered around me at the bird woman. All right. Then I crossed the roadside battleground to where the bird woman stood smoking her pipe and surveying the damage her blade had caused. You came just in time, I said in an awed tone as I got the chance to look her up and down for the first time. Who are you? The bird woman's long, all-white hair was pulled back at the nape of her neck with a blue ribbon, and the strip of fabric matched the blue vest she wore beneath a black waistcoat. On the top of her head was a black tri-cornered hat like the colonists used to wear, and a corncob pipe stuck out of the corner of her mouth. Instead of a nose, she had a cute small yellow beak, and a ring of feathers circled her neck. She looked like someone combined an African gray parrot with a beautiful woman, and the combination was strangely appealing. The cleavage pushing at the restraints of her shirt and the steep curve of her generous ass didn't hurt, but the beak on her face was very distracting.
By the dreamer's coming, you're a human!
The bird woman's mouth fell open, and she gaped unabashedly at me for a long moment, while I awkwardly ran my hands through my hair and straightened my clothes.
How long have you been in all the land? Have you drunk the vile poisons?
I've already asked you a question. Answer me, and I'll answer you. Every inch of my flesh was a gray, rocky hue. The answer should be obvious, but this was all the land, after all. It seemed as though I was starting to get the hang of talking to people here, and I grinned to myself.
Oh, a game!
The bird woman clapped her hands, and her blue eyes lit up.
I do love a good sport. What was your query?
Who are you? I repeated, but I made sure to give her my most charming smile.
Why, I am May. May am I. Me and May, we are the same.
The strange bird woman said in a sing-song voice, and she did an odd jig. Hi, May, I said, and I took a moment to congratulate myself on being able to process the absurdity of this dream world at a much faster pace. At this rate, I could encounter any insane possibilities without losing my composure. My name is Alex.
He's the dreamer,
Una whispered in a conspiratorial tone as she came to stand beside me. But the mysterious bird woman didn't seem to hear her. Meanwhile, my skin began to tingle again, and when I glanced down, the pinkish hue had returned. The potion had worn off already, but I still felt like me. Then I realized the mysterious lady was speaking to me, and I returned my focus to the conversation.
Alex, are you vexed or vested?
The woman tapped a finger against her chin as she peered off into the distance with a thoughtful expression on her face. Then she snapped her fingers, and blue eyes met mine.
You are invested. How have you come to be a human, Alex?
That's three questions,
I chuckled. But then I suddenly realized my three female companions were staring at us like we'd gone completely bonkers. They eyed the strange woman who'd come to our aid curiously, but no one rushed forward to introduce themselves. So it looked like it was up to me.
Alex is short for Alexander, and I'm currently wearing a vest thing. But here, let me introduce you to my friends first.
I turned and gestured for my friends to come say hello.
Hello, you may call me Una,
the beautiful cat girl said as she scurried forward to inspect the bird girl, and her nose wrinkled as she inhaled the new person's scent before she sat back on her haunches.
Or you can come up with a new name if you wish. I do not wish.
May peered down her beak nose at the curious cat girl.
I merely am, and what I am is me. It's nice to meet you, May. You are strange, and I enjoy that about you.
Call me Mags,
Miss Maggie grunted, and her beady eyes flicked to the strange woman's weapon. But there was respect obvious in her gaze.
I am Dr. Kria,
the mouse-eared doctor said with a stiff bow.
I have heard tales of you, May.
My adventures are sung about in many a song,
May said with a knowing nod.
I have long traveled all the land in search of the Dark King's palace. Soon I will end his reign of terror once and for all. No dreamer required.
How many songs?
Una asked with a curious tilt of her head.
Good, everyone's met everyone.
I clapped my hands together and gave them all a broad grin.
Now, who wants to get the fuck out of here?
I would enjoy being home,
Miss Maggie huffed, and her dark eyes darted around in search of more card men.
What do we do with this mess?
Dr. Kria asked as she cast a glance around at the dead clover cards.
Burn the bodies,
May declared.
Have our enemies running scared.
Mushroom Valley is very flammable,
Una pointed out with a concerned frown.
We came for potions, and potions we have.
You think we should just leave these guys on the road? Wouldn't that alert the Dark King to the presence of rebels in these woods?
Oh, we will be back in Havenwood long before the news of these men's deaths returns to the Dark Palace,
Miss Maggie assured me. I eyed the fallen clover cards curiously for a minute, and then I realized one of the men I stared at was close to my size. I squatted down beside him for a closer look, and I discovered his armor remained in very good condition. So I began to pull pieces of it free. I placed them in a neat little pile, but Una joined me before I had finished.
What are you doing?
Una asked, with a curious tilt of her head.
I want this armor. I don't care what we do with the men, but I think we should take their armor and weapons with us back to Havenwood. They could prove useful in the future.
Proof! Proof! I almost forgot!
Una gasped, and she hopped to her feet in one bound, only to nearly topple back over again.
You must drink a potion, Alex! Show the others who you truly are.
I already... I started to say,
but then the bird woman let out a loud snort.
Why in the dreamer's coming would one want to drink one of the dastardly devious drinks?
May's eyes widened, and the feathers around her neck ruffled like a dog raising its hackles.
The entire wagon needs to be destroyed.
We should wait for you to drink one of the potions until we are safely in Havenwood,
Miss Maggie argued with a shake of her head.
Everyone will want to see.
Apparently no one had noticed I'd drunk the rock skin elixir. Oh well, nothing bad had happened to me, so I wasn't worried about drinking another one.
Burn them all, I say,
May repeated with a fevered look in her blue eyes. We aren't destroying the potions, I said in a commanding tone, but the bird lady didn't seem to hear me, so I turned to my three companions. We will take the entire wagon with us back to Havenwood. I guess I'll just have to drink another one when we get back so everyone can see.
The lot of you are just as bad as the Dark King, drinking the poisons that ruin your life. It's a shame what has become of my beautiful all the land, but to run into locals willingly walking towards certain death, not to mention disease.
I take it you are anti-potion, I asked with a raised eyebrow.
And you are pro-potion?
May countered, but then she scanned me up and down.
I must say, you do have nice proportions. Weren't you a different color when we met? This one suits you.
Thanks? I smiled awkwardly, since I'd never been complimented by a smoking hot bird lady singing pirate swashbuckler before, and I wasn't quite sure what the appropriate response was. Should I get her a rock? But we are still taking the potions back to Havenwood. Thank you again for helping us with the clover cards.
Havenwood?
The bird lady rocked back and forth on the balls of her feet.
I've never been, and that is a rarity, for I have been to a great many places, but that is neither here nor now.
Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya exchanged a glance, but they didn't comment, and the two ladies began to strip more armor from the clover cards. They started to toss the metallic pieces into the wagon, and the sound of metal clinking against glass filled the air. I supposed it was up to me to vet this newcomer in our midst. So, where are you going, if not Havenwood?
I was on my way to the Dark King's palace,
May announced, and she struck a heroic pose with her hands on her hips.
To defeat him once and for all.
You're the dreamer,
Miss Maggie asked, and she cast me a glare before she turned her gaze back to the bird woman.
You certainly are strange enough.
Unfortunately, no. I was born here in all the land, just like all of you, but I have been on a quest to destroy the Dark King.
Alex is the dreamer,
Una insisted in a loud voice, and she came to stand beside me with a defensive air.
He is the one who will save us all.
Hey, if there's someone else willing to take on all this dark stuff around here, then have at it. I shrugged, but I couldn't help thinking about how I'd just drank one of the potions without any negative side effects afterward. I didn't ask to be the dreamer.
You?
The bird lady's eyes widened as she peered down her beak at me, and I was suddenly mesmerized by the icy blue hue of her gaze.
But you're not even a dodo bird.
Is that what you are? I asked with a curious glance down at her booted feet. How much of her was bird, and how much was woman?
Yes, indeed, as you can see.
May gestured to her person like this should have been all very obvious to me.
Alex is from Earth. He doesn't know how all the land works. He is the dreamer.
Only one way to find out.
May clapped her hands together, puffed on her pipe a few times, and then pulled a random potion from the back of the wagon.
Here, drink the poison.
Yeah, that sounds so appetizing, I said with lifted eyebrows. You didn't even read the label. Besides, I've already drunk them and nothing happened.
If you're the dreamer, then it shouldn't matter. What's the harm in trying?
For starters, you're not the only one who wants to find out if Alex is the dreamer or not,
Miss Maggie said, and she crossed her arms over her chest as she leveled the bird lady with a stern glare.
We found him first. The people of Havenwood deserve to see for themselves that his claims are false. You will not deny them this, stranger.
I will accompany you,
May said with a decisive nod, and she seemed oblivious to Miss Maggie's harsh demeanor. She seemed oblivious in general, but she was hot, so I didn't care. She could come with us wherever she wanted, just as long as I got to keep staring at her out of the corner of my eyes. Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya exchanged another glance, but then they both turned back to the dodo with nods of their own.
We will allow you to travel with us to Havenwood.
Gratitude,
May replied with a dip of her head. I could use some help, I said as I gestured to the half-undressed clover card at my feet. Let's get all the armor off of them before we head home. I shot a self-conscious glance at Una, but she hadn't caught me referring to Havenwood as my home, or at least she didn't seem to react, so I let out my breath and returned to the Clover card. We all worked together to finish the task of stripping the armor and weapons off the Clover cards, but I was curious to find out what was beneath their metal coverings, so I pulled the helmet off the one around my size and found a faceless man twisted with deformities whose skin was the color of squid ink. The skin bulged over the liquid flesh like a bubble about to burst, and his chest was completely caved in like he'd already been drained of a lot of blood. A puncture wound near the spot where the ribcage would have been was evidence of my theory, and I had a sudden spark of realization. They were like bags of ink in the shape of men. I shook my head in awe at the sheer weirdness I was surrounded by. This dream kept getting stranger and stranger, but there was still no end in sight. I didn't know what I would have to do in order to wake up, but none of my usual tricks had worked so far, so I was just riding it out at this point. I had a feeling the Clover card's balloon-like skin would rupture the instant we tried to move them, which would result in all of us being covered in their black, ink-like blood, as well as evidence of our encounter spilled all over the roadway. What were these things even made out of in the first place? Maybe they really were just an animated deck of cards. I glanced around at the women, but they were all much further along in the armor removal process than I was, so I refocused on my task with renewed vigor. Once I had all the metallic pieces with leather straps removed from the weird ink blob, the Clover card resembled a beanbag more than a person. It was like the armor had been what shaped it into a man, and I shuddered to think about what other minions the Dark King had at his disposal. Then I stacked all my salvaged armor in the wagon loaded with potions, and I drew my sword as I returned to the black blob. I made sure to stand back at a safe distance, and I poked it with the tip of my weapon until my blade slid into its flesh. When I withdrew, a spigot of ink-like blood spewed from the puncture to paint the road, and my theory was confirmed. "Be careful. We don't want to end up covered in their blood."
"You've never seen a Clover card?"
May asked with a confused look. Her eyes flicked from my head to my feet and back again.
"Are you not a man?"
"I am a man. I'm just not from around here, remember? I'm just a normal human male from Earth." Calling myself a male felt weird, but I had a feeling the odd dodo woman would understand that term easier than others.
"There are none of those in all the land."
The dodo pulled the pipe from the corner of her mouth, and then she pointed the stem at me in an accusatory way.
"How did you come to be human?"
"I was born this way. How did you become a bird woman?"
"I am from a wondrous legacy of dodos,"
May replied, and she puffed out her chest with pride. "So, you were born a bird," I paraphrased with a roll of my hand. "Therefore, I was born human."
"Preposterous. No one in all the land is born as a human."
"I am not from all the land," I repeated in a painfully slow voice. "I am from Earth. I woke up here yesterday." That felt strange to say.
"But the prophecy..."
May shook her head.
"It is impossible."
"Nothing is impossible in all the land,"
Una interjected in a cheerful tone, and she came to stand by my side with squared shoulders. Her tail curled around the back of my calves, and she flashed me a toothy grin.
"But we should really move away from this location soon. The cards will be missed before the day is through." "Oh, she's right. We are less than a day's travel from the Clover Queen's fortress, so they will expect these potions before nightfall. We must get back to Havenwood before then."
"Indeed. The steeds will do the heavy lifting for a while longer. Now, onward to your safe haven, and I will guard the rear."
I helped the girls drag the dead bodies away from the wagon and the horse-like creature's path. May pulled her sword to guard our backs, and the others clambered on top of the load while Una and I took the steed's lead ropes. We were ready to head back to Havenwood. Except, I had no idea which way to go. Fortunately, Una took the lead, and she flashed me a cheeky grin over her shoulder before she trotted ahead of me. Her purple-blue striped tail swayed from side to side, and I followed behind with a shit-eating grin on my face. I could walk behind her forever and be happy. We made our way back through the mushroom forest, but it was slow going at times because we had to deviate from the road. The wheels of the wagon bounced over the bumps in the ground, and some potions went overboard a couple of times. Luckily, the bottles didn't break, so they were easy to pick back up. And after a while, the dirt below our feet became smoother. Una rushed to grab each falling container, and she eyed each of them closely for a long moment before placing them back in the cart. But she always released them, so I wasn't too worried. Still, we needed to get back before her cravings overpowered her self-control. It didn't take us as long as I expected, and a short while later we arrived in the clearing below Havenwood. Birdsong announced our entrance, and there was a group of animal people waiting by the time we parked the wagon beside the trunk of the giant sequoia. The women climbed down from the wagon, and Miss Maggie adjusted her dress before she strode to the front of the crowd.
"We have managed to eliminate 13 clover cards from play,"
the pig lady announced in a proud tone, even though she'd barely lifted a finger against them.
"And we brought back enough potions to last a lifetime." "Give me one!"
someone shouted.
"I need it!"
another moaned.
"Potions for everybody!"
another voice said. Everyone rushed forward and grabbed containers of liquid from the wagon, but then cries of alarm swept through the crowd.
"There's no label!
What does this one do? Dr. Kreia, help!"
I glanced into the cart and realized everyone was right. A bunch of the potions didn't have labels on them, so there was no telling what would happen if they were drunk.
"Enough!"
Miss Maggie snapped, and she swept her arms out to either side to silence the crowd.
"Without labels, these potions are dangerous, so they will be used for research purposes only. You all know the consequences that come with drinking them, and to not even know what you're getting is even worse. I will not let more of our people fall victim to the opposition. No, these are for Dr. Kreia to use as she sees fit."
Moans of disappointment filled the air, but the people began to disperse with quietly muttered complaints. Miss Maggie shooed them away before she turned back to us, and the pig lady crossed her arms over her chest.
"You see what the potions do to us?"
She shook her head.
"The cravings get worse and worse the more you drink."
"I'm sorry," was all I could think to say. I wondered how Una felt after being force-fed multiple potions. Was she craving more? I didn't feel the need to drink any more, but I'd only had a couple. The potions definitely had their pros and cons, but if I was immune to the cons, then I could become more powerful than anyone else around. Was I really the dreamer? It was starting to seem more and more likely by the minute, and I was eager to experiment some more, but I didn't think I was addicted to the potions. At least now I had a doctor to watch me for negative side effects. What would happen to me this time? First things first, we needed to get everyone upstairs to safety, so I put my hands on my hips as I surveyed the wagon. "We need a way to get all the potions up the stairs."
"Oh, the lifters will lower the baskets,"
Una assured me with a wave of her hand.
"Let's set these creatures free from their burdens."
"The horses? Well, they kind of look like horses." I raised an eyebrow as I considered the things pulling the wagon. Their four sets of eyes blinked back at me, and I shivered. "Set them free?"
"All beings deserve a chance to survive."
"Fair enough," I grinned. "I like the way you think about things, Una."
"I like a lot of the Alex things about you,"
Una replied, but I noticed a blush darken her cheeks.
"You're the most Alex thing I've met. Actually, you're the only Alex I've met."
"I've never had someone describe me like that before. I think you like me."
"It has not been obvious?"
Una tilted her head to the side. "Maybe just a little." Then I turned my attention back to unfastening the straps holding the beasts to the wagon's yoke, and a short while later, Una and I let the animals go free. I reached for the cat girl's hand as we watched the horse-like creatures kick up their heels and run around the clearing. The beasts even rolled around in the tall grass like they'd never been able to scratch their itchy backs, and I wondered what their life in the Clover Fortress was like. Una would probably know more, but I didn't want to make her relive any painful memories if it wasn't necessary. So I remained silent for a long while. "That was a good decision," I finally told the cat girl with a warm smile.
"They will enjoy their time now."
Una nodded.
"Now, let's assist the others with the lift."
We returned to the trunk of the tree to find Miss Maggie and Dr. Kreia loading huge woven baskets with our stolen stash of unlabeled elixirs, and the beautiful cat girl quickly rushed over to help them. I followed in her wake, but I took a moment to analyze the engineering of the strange vessel. The basket was roughly 10 feet wide and 2 feet deep, It hung down from the canopy by thick braided ropes, and the people of Havenwood had constructed pulleys out of wood to ease the burden of the load. A platform dock was built high above us on the edge of the treetop town, and I couldn't believe I hadn't noticed the elevator-like design before. It would have saved me a lot of stair climbing. Once we had all the potions loaded into the two baskets, we signaled to the squirrel and the owl at the top to lift the cargo up into the city. "Can we ride the baskets?" I asked as I considered my sore legs and tired back.
"I do not believe the lifters could lift you,"
Dr. Kriya said, and her cheeks turned a rosy color.
"They are very little, and even with the wheels at the top, they cannot carry much."
"But those potions weighed way more than I do. It's fine, but it would have been nice."
"We don't want anyone to get injured if it breaks,"
Dr. Kriya informed me with a gentle smile.
"It is simply not allowed. The stairs remain functional, though."
It was worth a shot, I chuckled as I headed toward the trunk of the massive tree. Una sang the password song, and we all slipped through the doorway. We all trotted up at a brisk pace, and I shot a glance over my shoulder to see if May followed behind us. The bird woman pulled up the rear, but I could barely see her around Miss Maggie's bulky form. I was satisfied I'd get a chance to get to know the bird woman better, but I knew she was curious whether or not I was the dreamer. If only they'd all been paying better attention during the battle, the answer would already be clear. Once we all made it into the dining hall, I took a seat at what I was starting to consider my usual table, and I glanced around at the others. Miss Maggie let out a loud sigh as she settled onto the bench opposite me, and Dr. Kriya nestled her hands in her lap as she situated herself beside the pig lady. Una walked straight past me and to a place at the back of the room out of my eyesight. I was curious what she was up to, so I quickly pushed myself up from the bench and followed after her. Someone had moved the potions to the back of the dining hall in the span of time it took us to climb the stairs, and the cat girl was rifling through them with her tail jutting in the air. The sound of clinking glass filled my ear, and then I heard Una muttering under her breath.
"No, not that one. Nope, still can't find it."
The cat girl sat back on her haunches with a disappointed frown.
"I can't find it anywhere, Alex."
"What are you looking for exactly? There's an awful lot of potions to choose from, and without labels, there's no way to know what you're getting. Besides, maybe you should reconsider taking any more after what happened last time."
"It's not for me,"
Una corrected as she shook her head.
"I'm looking for a healing potion, but there are none here."
"Would it heal the negative side effects of the other potions? That could come in handy for the people of all the land. With the power of the potions, the women could stand against the Dark King and overpower his minions. Then I realized the negative opposition effects would cause a healing potion to become the exact opposite when it wore off. It could be incredibly dangerous if put in the wrong hands." "Wait, how would you know which one is a healing potion without labels?"
"I don't know. But I have to try something. My entire mission was to retrieve the heal other potion, but all I could find was the recipe."
"You have the recipe, though. How do you make the potions?"
"It's a complicated process. The ingredients are hard to find, and some of the directions are encrypted by a strange language I cannot read. I need the potion maker to translate the text."
"And that's the Livia person you were supposed to break free." I connected the dots together as she spoke, and I suddenly understood the cat girl's frantic search through the potions.
"Any healing potions are incredibly rare,"
Una informed me with a sad look in her eyes.
"I had one chance to save Livia, but I blew it."
"No, you didn't," I said, and I squeezed her hand warmly. "Because you ran into me, and now I'm going to do whatever I can in order to help you save all the land." And I meant it.
"It is time to witness the truth of the human's claim,"
Miss Maggie announced in a loud voice over the dining hall chatter.
"What potion should we have Alex drink?"
"Any will do. We just need to see what happens when the effects wear off."
"Big or tall, short or small, any will do at all,"
May sang, and she took a long puff off her pipe.
"Best get on with it, then."
Everyone began to talk at once, and several people crowded around the basket full of potions. Una and I backed away from the crowd, but then Miss Maggie pulled me front and center again. The tall pig lady kept a firm hand on my shoulder, and I could tell she wasn't going to let me go anywhere. Not that I would try, but having an imposing figure hovering over your shoulder was a tad discomforting. "Let's just grab a random one," I shrugged. "Any of them will work, right?" Miss Maggie inspected a couple of the bottles, and then she withdrew a tiny bottle full of sparkling silver liquid. This one actually had a label, though, and we all peered closely at the words scrawled across the paper. Written in bold letters across the front was the word, Tiny. Oh boy. The pig lady handed me the bottle with a mischievous twinkle in her beady eyes, but then Zeedee began to bounce up and down at my feet.
You'll be as small as me for a little while,
the fur bay gushed.
Please, oh please, choose Tiny.
Better than big. We don't want to ruin the roof after all.
Until it wears off,
May snorted, and a smoke ring drifted away from her head.
My thoughts exactly,
Miss Maggie chortled, but then she gestured to the bottle in my hands.
Drink up, Alex. It's time to show us what you can do.
All right. I popped the cork off the tiny bottle and lifted the rim to my lips, but I paused before taking a sip to search for Una among the faces of the crowd. The beautiful cat girl flashed me an encouraging grin, and that was all the prompting I needed to lift the bottle a little higher and let the silver liquid pour into my mouth. My lips tingled as the potion slid between them, and I had a sudden urge to change my mind, but it was too late to go back. I only took a sip, and then I returned the cork to the opening. What now? Before anyone could answer me, I felt a strong pulling sensation from inside my body, and I began to slowly shrink. I got smaller and smaller until my clothes became baggy around my form, and then I'd still continued to shrink. I stared up at the ceiling as it drew steadily further away, and then I glanced at my oversized companions as I stood in the jumbled pile of my clothes. Una blinked down at me with the biggest purple eyes, and a wide grin spread across her face.
How do you feel?
Her voice boomed, and I was almost knocked over by the vibrations in the floor, but I quickly regained my balance.
Good!
I said as loudly as I could, but I could tell the cat girl had a hard time hearing me, so I repeated myself in an even louder voice.
I'm good!
Just then, Zeedee bounced over, and the floor shook with every move she made. From this height, the tiny furbay looked like a big pumpkin, and her eyes immediately went to my exposed privates.
Your clothes no longer fit,
the furbay observed. I glanced down at my naked body self-consciously, but I wasn't sure what to do about my lack of clothes.
I do declare, you have much improved, Alex the Vested.
May peered down at me, and her icy blue eyes were like planets from my vantage point.
Here!
Miss Maggie practically shouted, and she ripped a chunk of fabric off her apron, and I tied it around my waist like a bath towel. It wasn't the most fashionable of outfits, but it would work as a temporary fix, so I adjusted it slightly before I nodded my approval.
I liked him better before,
May huffed, and she elbowed Dr. Kriya knowingly.
Although, it will be better once the poison wears off.
Thank you,
I said in the loudest voice I could muster.
What do I do now?
Everyone stared at me with anxious expressions, but I didn't want to just stand around while we waited for the potion's effects to wear off, so I turned to the adorable furbay with a wide smile.
Care to show me the world from your perspective, Zeedee?
Oh, yes! Oh, yes!
The furbay chanted as she bounced up and down with delight.
Watch out for the cracks,
Miss Maggie warned.
Yes, be careful, Alex,
Una urged with a worried look.
I'll be fine. Zeedee will watch my back. Isn't that right?
Absolutely.
Zeedee bounced so fast she practically vibrated, but her movements caused the floor beneath my feet to shake.
Let's do it.
I followed Zeedee out of the dining hall, but I had to trot to match pace with her bounces. It was certainly a switch from when she had to hurry to keep up with Una and me. We came to the first rope bridge, and I hesitated on the edge. The holes between the wooden slats put the next step on the other side of a sickening drop to the ground, and I quickly realized I would have to jump it. Zeedee hopped from board to board like she'd done this a million times, but she probably had. This was my first time, though, so I took a running jump as I aimed for the next slat. I slid onto the board with a sigh of relief, but I kept sliding, and I had to catch myself with my hands to stop my movement. My foot went over the edge, and the feeling of air rushing up to greet my limb made my stomach flip.
We should get you down into the clearing,
Zeedee suggested as she jumped from board to board.
That way, when you grow giant-sized, you won't break anything.
I don't think I'm going to get big.
So, You really believe you're the dreamer?
ZD paused to turn around and peer at me.
That would be amazing.
I returned to my normal size the last time I drank a potion, I said as I clambered to my feet. Then I took another running jump for the next slat of the rope bridge, and I landed on my feet this time.
Really? I've never seen anyone immune to the opposition effect before.
I suppose that means everyone is half expecting me to become massive when this wears off, huh? I said as I took aim at the next board.
Many are afraid to hope,
ZD said in a sad tone.
Too much time has passed.
I get that, I sighed, but then I ran and jumped onto the next board. A short while and a few mild panic attacks later, ZD and I were on the other side of the rope bridge. I let out the breath I hadn't realized I'd been holding in, and I collapsed in an exhausted heap on the walkway.
We cannot rest for long. Others will be walking by soon, and we don't want them to knock us off the edge.
Ugh, the Furbay had a point, so I pushed myself to my feet once more. Oh, that took forever, and it was incredibly dangerous. I can't believe you live like this every day.
It's all I've ever known,
the Furbay squeaked, and then she started to bounce toward the main trunk of the giant sequoia the tree city was built into.
Let's get you down to the clearing.
The bouncing ball of fur led me through the precarious path toward the trunk, but my stomach dropped several levels when I stood before the stairs. It seemed an impossible task at my current size, but ZD was already hopping down the steps. I had no choice but to follow after her the best I could, and I swung my arms in windmills as I jumped down to the next stair. An eternity later, ZD and I made it to the base of the tree, and I could have kissed the dirt I was so happy to be on solid ground. The Furbay giggled as she watched me throw myself down, and she settled into a spot nearby until I caught my breath. When I had somewhat recovered from the arduous task of coming downstairs, I pushed myself up into a sitting position and looked around. The tall grass was like a humongous forest, and the stems towered far above my head out of sight. The small rocks around me resembled boulders, and the cracks in the dirt looked like craters. I felt like Thumbelina or one of the Borrowers, but in either case, I was really, really small. When I was ready for more exploring, I signaled to ZD and headed out into the tall grass forest. The bouncing Furbay led the way, and she slid between the stems without any hesitation. I was a little slower as I followed behind her, since I didn't know what animals out here would find a tiny human to be a delicious midday snack. But nothing jumped out of the grass at me, so we continued on for a while in silence. Then, when the sound of birds grew distant, and I could no longer see the trunk of the sequoia behind us, I came to a halt. I didn't want to get lost out here after all. So, what's your life been like, ZD? I asked in a curious tone. How old are you?
I am fully grown, and my life has been pleasant at times and terrifying at others. But I've grown accustomed to fear, and I'm not sure what I would feel without it.
I wish I could show you a life without fear, but everyone has things they're scared of.
Do they have nightmares where you're from?
Sort of, I shrugged. They usually stay in our heads, though.
They're inside you!
ZD gasped, and her eyes widened to an impossible degree. I could actually see her face at my current size, and it was a nice change from the faceless ball of hair I was used to. Only temporarily, while sleeping. They aren't deadly like they are here. A strange pulling sensation in my arms distracted me, and I glanced down to see my limbs stretching outward at a brisk pace. The loincloth covering my crotch became too tiny, and a moment later, I was standing naked among the tall grass.
It was fun hanging out with you, ZD,
I said as I began to grow back to my normal size, but I stood high above the bouncing ball of fur long before the words had completely left my mouth.
It worked!
ZD squealed, and she jumped up and down rapidly.
It worked! It worked! It worked! You're the dreamer!
A joyful scream came from above my head, and I looked up to see Una hanging over the rails of a rope bridge. Her black hair blew in the wind, and even from this distance I could see the happiness written across her face. Miss Maggie and Dr. Kriya stood at either side of her with shocked expressions, but they quickly pulled her backward before she fell over the edge. I was grateful for their presence beside my feline companion, and I swallowed down the lump that rose in my throat at the sight of Una.
By the dreamer's coming!
May gasped from where she stood a few paces away from the others.
You're you!
Come up here straight away!
Dr. Kriya yelled from above.
I must inspect you for opposition!
I'm coming!
I called back, and then I reached down to scoop Zeedee up into my hands. And I'll give you a lift to the top.
Thank you.
Zeedee squeaked, and she nestled into my hands in what I could only equivocate with a hug. Then I climbed back up the stairs at a run, and my members swung wildly with each step, but it was much easier at my normal size than it had been while I was tiny. A moment later, I burst through the opening at the top, and I quickly crossed the distance to where Una and the others stood. The cat girl glanced down at my naked body, and a blush darkened her cheeks. She held my clothes in her arms, and she shoved them at me as a shit-eating grin spread across her face.
I brought your clothes.
Thank you, I said, and I quickly pulled on the pants and vest-like tunic.
You're normal-sized.
Una's purple eyes were bright with hope and adoration.
I knew I wasn't being silly.
You're the dreamer.
Miss Maggie gasped, and she placed both her hands over her heart. The pig lady looked like she was about to faint, so I gestured toward the dining hall.
Why don't we go sit down?
But...
Dr. Kriya looked me up and down with an astute eye, and she didn't seem to have been the least bit bothered by my nakedness, but I supposed people in the medical field were accustomed to bodies in all forms.
You look fine.
I feel fine, I said, and I gave her a wide grin. Why do you look so surprised? Una told you already.
Hearing and seeing are two different things,
Miss Maggie said, and she shook her head like she was trying to dispel a mirage.
You're the dreamer,
Dr. Kriya stammered out in a disbelieving tone.
It's true. You're the one who has come to save us all.
I told you so.
Una marched up to me with a proud grin.
You're my savior, Alex, and I have known it since the moment we met.
Then, to my utter and complete surprise, the cat girl wrapped her arms around my neck and pulled my lips to hers. She tasted of salt and a hint of fish, but I didn't mind. I pulled her into my arms, and I opened my mouth to her exploring tongue as she moaned into my mouth. I was the dreamer, and it looked like I was here to save the land from the reign of the Dark King. If that came with hot cat girls jumping into my arms and kissing me, then I could handle anything. Una broke free and gasped for air, but then a mischievous twinkle appeared in her purple eyes, and she took my hand in hers.
Follow me. I'm fertile right now, and my body craves you.
What?
My blood temperature rose instantly, and my palms began to sweat.
I want to breed with you, dreamer.
Una whispered as she batted her long eyelashes at me and smiled impossibly large.
I had to be dreaming. And this time, I definitely did not want to wake up.